This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 366, recorded Tuesday, September 19th, 2017, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Currently on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You know why?
Because you're busy tomorrow.
Yes, I'm ringing in 5,778.
Good luck with that.
The traditional response is Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Or if you want to go Hebrew, Shana Tova. But either way, I won't be here. I'll be somewhere else.
Already.
So next week I will be here on Wednesday. Therefore, we can do this. But the 2 weeks after that, I won't be. So we'll take it 1 week at a time.
1 week at a time.
Yeah. Isn't that the way the world works? Anyway, so... I think
for most of the world, a week is a pretty big chunk.
Yeah, but...
But hey, it's cool.
Well, I'm also taking off the next 3 days from work, so they were nice enough to ask me to do everything before I left. I always love them.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, well...
It means there won't be a backlog of work for you when you get back.
No, they'll make a new pile. Thus is life. I was away for 3 weeks. Do you think that they... took care of things. Anyway, me being annoyed by that aside, I'm not going to worry about it for a couple of days. I'm going to worry only about my own problem. Or actually, more importantly, I'm going to go sit in the woods and pray, but I'm not going to worry about work. Let's see how successful I am at that.
Good.
Well, it's hard to divorce yourself from, you know, problems that you're trying to solve. It's hard to just disconnect from something that you haven't resolved.
Oh, brother, preaching to the choir. Yep.
I know. So if I left work and felt that I had closed out every active thing, then I probably would relax a lot more, but there's always something. Anyway, it's been a productive week for me outside of work. I was up till 4 a.m. on Sunday morning because I got involved in a project and didn't realize that it was 4 a.m.
Also, preaching to the choir. Yep, been there.
Yeah, I've been, you know that I have this whole home automation thing that I've been doing. I have a Wink Hub, and last Sunday I had an electrician come in and install my new remote-connected fan. So basically, I can click a button and turn the fan on. But, you know, every time I do something like this, it starts a chain reaction of me doing other stuff. So I basically installed a program on the same computer that runs my digital video recorder called Home Assistant, which is basically a home automation integration platform. Are you familiar with it?
I am not. Home Assist, you say?
Home Assistant. It's an open source home automation platform that runs on Python 3. Their philosophy is they don't do integration so much as their goal is to integrate as many libraries as possible. So they don't want to do native.
That's so funny.
Well, the idea is that they want to make it so that there's upstream communication on everything. So they don't want to write their own code for as much as possible. They want to have as much as possible handled by third-party libraries that are also being maintained by enthusiasts. And this is one of the most active GitHub repositories I've been following lately. But if you have a look at their site, they have actually some nice demos.
Cool.
So they integrate with dozens upon dozens of what they call components, which are things that you could integrate with. So their list says 814 different components.
Now, is a component a piece of software or is it a hardware thing?
Both. So for example, a component is something that they've integrated with. So just to give you a few examples, they integrate with routers for presence detection. So basically, one of their types of components is presence detection, and they can integrate with your router to detect when a device connects to it for a supported router so they can detect when your device is in your house. They can also integrate with...
Oh, so like it could tell I'm home because my phone connected to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but alternatively, it can also tell your home if you give it a connection GPS on your phone. So they have different providers. They have, let's see, Android IP webcam as a sensor. They have it as a switch. They have it as, so they have different things that various pieces of software can actually handle. Oh, I didn't notice this. They actually have my car integration automatic in here. I should add that in. But basically, I keep adding in integrations from their list. They have Bluetooth LE tracking. They have SMS. They have all sorts of, you know, weather integrations, switch integrations, both Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and Z-Wave. So basically, the goal is to get as many things that will work with this as possible so that everything can be a gigantic integration. And basically, if they don't have your integration, guess what you can do?
Write it yourself.
Why not? So I know that someday my Wink Hub might not work anymore. You know why I'm worried about that?
Because it requires a server that somebody else owns.
That's basically it. Because my hardware is provided by a company that's been sold twice in the last year and a half. And, of course, my personal favorite, the current owner of Wink is Will.i.am. I am not insulting Mr. I.am. I don't know that much about him, but I don't know how successful he will be in owning a home automation.
He's a music artist, right?
Yes, and I've gathered from reading a bit about him that his forays into tech investment have not necessarily worked out. That doesn't mean they won't in the future.
Sure, just keep trying.
Yeah, but the idea is by having a computer-based integration system, let's say tomorrow the Wink system goes offline, they sell it. I can repair all of my devices to a different piece of software and integrate them into the same system. So I want to have an interface that doesn't necessarily die. Also, Wink has...
And it'd be nice for you if you do have to change components or whatever, you only have to change a back-end, a plug-in, basically. And your front end, your experience remains the same.
Basically. I'm actually thinking of writing this all up. I haven't written up a tech article in a while. And I figure I have a lot I might want to say.
Mark on.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, it's a new thing for me. I haven't done very much systems integration. But it's gotten me onto a buying spree of integration components. So over the weekend, I ordered door and window sensors and all entryways into residence.
Are they secure or are they just informational?
They're informational. I'm not 100% comfortable with the idea of a smart lock.
Shouldn't be. As far as I know, none of them are secure.
Yeah, but worst case with a sensor, somebody could do is know whether or not my door is open.
Although, to be fair, the vast, vast, vast majority of home key locks are extremely easy to pick. Like, you don't even need a single pin pick them. You can rake them.
Well, I think the goal is to make it as hard as possible for people to get into your residence, not impossible. If you have an axe, you can get into my residence also.
Or you can break a window, or yeah, there's lots of ways into it.
Well, that's going to be really hard. I have bars. Although there is actually a lock on the window on the bars to allow me to escape in a fire. So I suppose they could pick the lock and then break, which is why I believe the back of the building security camera, but that other day. But
anyway, this is cool.
Yeah, I thought I'd mention it because I've been having a lot of fun with it. There is an Android app that a third party has been developing. It's not really, I'm going to say, fleshed out, but the web app is actually pretty good. It's a progressive web app, which means it'll install itself as an icon if you want it to in your app drawer.
Sure.
And, you know, I did everything else. I had the server that's running it is running 8ps. I have hopefully all the security I need, and I have more integrations. I even put in a program on my phone that actually allows it to monitor my cell phone battery. I could, so why not?
Sure.
Well, I made a bit of a mistake on that. So I did that so that I could do device tracking, so it could tell me whether or not I was in residence, in addition to the other one with the router. So I installed a program on my phone that sends data to a server that I built at 4 a.m. You know how things that you do at 4 a.m. Seem like a good idea, but don't always when you wake up?
Sure.
What's the best way to... So I built a server to store all this data. Then I installed a program onto my phone, and I was doing this when I was visiting my grandparents are up here. So I was sitting in the basement in their residence, the one I tend to go to for the holidays, which I have tomorrow. I was sitting there in the basement doing this, and I installed the program on my phone to allow me to send GPS data so that it could tell me whether or not I was inside my home. And then I said, well, you know, it would be interesting if I did the same thing for my relatives. So I went and got my mother's phone, since she was also there, and installed the same program on her phone and had her send data to the same server so it could tell whether or not she was in the house there because I put some of the home automation in that house. I discovered one interesting thing about that program. Since it's sharing the server that I built as in configured, installed, etc.
Yep.
Apparently everybody on the server, unless you turn it off, can actually see the location of everybody else on the server. So basically now I've been meaning to go back and look to see where that setting is. Because right now, my mother can track my...
I don't know if I'd like that.
Well, on one hand, that's a bit creepy, and I have to really fiddle with it a bit. On the other hand, it's not like I'm really going anywhere that I care, whether she knows. She happens to be the sort of person who enjoys looking at that. Either way, I really have enjoyed it for myself, because the way that I've programmed it, it's tracking my time at various locations. So I have it tracking my time when I'm at work and when I'm at home, so it can actually tell me how many hours I've been at either. So I know, for example, that I have so far been home for 2 hours and 29 minutes, And it says what time I arrived at work, what time I left work, to, and what time I returned to work and left again. And they can show me that on a graph. Which
interesting. At some point, will it be able to tell when you're in your room or in your bed so it can tell you when you're sleeping?
No.
Oh, because at that point, we reach Santa Claus level.
Well, no. I suppose I could figure out something about sleep tracking, but this is just sort of interesting for how much time I spend in various. It's sort of a side effect of me wanting to know whether or not I'm in a place so that I could have the lights go on. Or the reason why I programmed it to know where my work was I wanted it to be able to. I don't have remote controlled air conditioning, but I do have remote control heating. I wanted to be able to have it turn on the heat when it detected that I was leaving work and heading home. One of these days, I'll figure out how to make it work properly. But we all have our projects. But I think it's worth looking at if you're
interested. It seems very interesting.
And I spent some time also integrating my weather station. So my weather station is now sending messages to this entire system. Even though my weather station and the system don't know, there's no custom integration, I was able to sort of configure the weather station to send information in a format and teach Home Assistant how to pick up that format. Anyway, it's been an interesting project.
Seems like.
More to do on it.
As there is always with personal projects, there's always more.
Yeah, but right now I was able to use it to turn my fan on without getting up. Unlike my air conditioner, and I find it hot in here, the fan doesn't really make any noise now that I've replaced it. The old fan used to. The new fan doesn't, so I can have it on during this program. Unfortunately, it's too far from my desk, so I have to actually move my desk. That's a project for another day. Moving furniture is something I only do sparingly. Anyway, so that's my non-Android story for today. It is Android-related because I am using my phone. By the way, the program on my phone that's allowing me to not only track my own move, but apparently to track them with my mother and vice versa, is a program called OwnTracks, which I thought I would mention as a app. So that's OwnTracks.org. There's an iOS app and an Android app where basically it's designed for custom integration. So all the app does is allow you to track your location and send it somewhere. Where you send it is your business. So it itself doesn't store anything. So if you want to build a location diary to keep track of where you were, if you want to build anything, basically it gives you the option.
Okay.
I thought it was fun.
I'm glad you're in.
Yep. More to do. Also, since in order to get all this working, I had to install an MQTT server, I'm still trying to figure out, now that I built an MQTT server, what do I do with that?
What is an MQTT server?
Well, actually, Facebook Messenger uses that protocol. MQTT is this basically a lightweight messaging protocol. Just to read the official definition, it's a publish subscribe based lightweight messaging protocol for use on top of TCP/IP, designed for connections with remote locations where a small code footprint is required or network bandwidth is limited. It requires a message broker, which is what I built. It's a broker that's responsible for distributing messages to intercepts based on the topic of a message. So what, it's used, again, by IoT stuff a lot, but it also happens to be used for parts of Facebook.
Interesting.
So a lot of interesting stuff, which is why I thought
Facebook has to be concerned about
efficient. Yeah, so they apparently used a lot of the protocol than necessarily a standardized implementation for Messenger when they sort of distanced it from EP. Anyway, so that brings me to Oreo.
Oreo!
I felt jealous. I felt jealous of you, so I enrolled in the beta program so that my phone.
Oh, noes! Did you get Oreo?
Yes, about 5 seconds after I told it that I was willing to be part of the beta program.
Huh. I wonder if I'm part of the beta program, just don't really.
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell me either.
There's a website for it where you can see if you're enrolled. Either way, I figured it's stable, so me enrolling in a program right now wasn't necessarily a bad idea. There have been a few side effects, though.
Your battery's gotten worse?
No, my battery was worse when my phone was dying before anyway. It's actually not that bad. The battery is not so much the issue. Bluetooth is annoying the heck out of me. The reason why is, for some reason, occasionally media doesn't play properly in my car until I disable the media audio profile and then re-enable
it. That's annoying.
Yeah. I was thinking of making it forget my car entirely and then, because remember, Oreo does have a new Bluetooth stack.
Yep.
It is theoretically possible. Tomorrow I'm taking a drive, as I sort of mentioned, to see the family. So I might go out there and just disconnect it before I leave and reconnect it and see how stable it is during the drive. I need my phone to entertain me.
Sure. Once again, preaching to the choir.
Yeah, well, we'll see what's next on that frontier. I've been changing my podcast.
Really?
What are you listening to lately? Other than, of course, Android Buffet, which I'm sure you listen to.
Religiously. Go Time is pretty much my go-to right now.
What is Go Time?
It's a podcast about the programming language Golang. Go.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't think that that would necessarily, since I don't use Go, I don't think that would necessarily.
Nope. I really don't have any recommendations that I think.
I don't know. I alternate between tech, some random new stuff, and occasionally lighter entertainment. For example, I was listening to a podcast about constitutional law called What Can Trump Teach Us About Constitutional Law? That's
sounds
on hiatus.
Interesting.
I always like constitutional law, but that's on hiatus. It was meant to be a limited series, but apparently Trump has questioned so many aspects of our assumption in a series. yeah, well, also the Washington Post has a podcast called Constitutional. Other than that, let's see. Every so often I listen to some of the Twit podcasts. I've always been a fan of Jarvis. And then a bunch of random stuff. And, of course, the weekly This Week audio.
Oh, of course.
Well, they've been making announcements about the upcoming Indie Webcam New York, which, regrettably, I can only go to 50% of.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Me too. You know, it's. I understand that that was the best weekend for everybody, except me. However, it is disappointing that an Indie Webcam is in my hometown, and that I can spend more time at an Indie Webcamp in another city because it works out on a whim where I'm more available. As is, I'll be there for as much. So if you are in the New York area, you're always welcome to come down. I'll be there on Sunday.
Cool.
Beyond that, that covers my Oreo upgrade. So I still haven't gotten, I tried to sign up for the LastPass beta program so I could try Autofill API.
Yeah.
But for some reason, even though I agreed to join the program, it didn't actually deliver the beta version of LastPass to me, and I just wasn't motivated enough to fiddle with it.
I don't think I'm using the beta version.
Well, I just want to try Autofill API just to see what it was like. But as I said, I just haven't been motivated. Eventually, I've been busy. I have new Android devices.
Sure.
My father apparently was annoyed with his LG. Or what is it? He had like $142 LG. It was V something. So recently when my mother got annoyed with a similar phone, she had me order her a G5 Plus. I finally got a call this morning, order a G5 Plus. So I ordered it this morning and it showed up this evening. Every so often, same day shipping really works well for me.
That's cool.
So I ordered it to here because they're in a rural area and they wouldn't get it for 3 days. Whereas if I get it here, I can install all of their accounts on it, bring it up to them tomorrow, which I did.
That's nice of you.
Well, setting it up the right way ensures that my technical support need be lessened later. What was that old expression? Tech support for friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
So it seemed like it was in my best interest. But fortunately, it didn't take that long. I've installed my father's set of applications and my mother's set of applications enough times. And I was able to uninstall, since it tried to install a bunch of apps, the one that he'd been complaining about that was automatically putting ads all over the place. He installed a very spammy podcast app. So I gave him one that doesn't have any ads.
Good.
Hopefully he'll like it.
What'd you give him?
What is it? Podcast Addict? No, Podcast Addict is the one with ads. AntennaPod, the open source one with no ads. It'll work for him. He's a power user. He only listens to one podcast and he doesn't know what a podcast is. He has this one with this weekly learning thing that he likes. And he never uses headphones, so whenever I'm with him, I hear him sitting places listening to this guy.
Cool.
On speaker. It makes me look forward to getting a new phone. I heard that they announced the price for the Pixel 2.
I had not heard that.
Preliminary.
How much?
I think it was $849. Still better than an iPhone. Seems out of my price range. Maybe the Moto X4 will be more my speed if it comes out. Because working with the G5 Plus, I actually very much like, even though I have issues with Lenovo and Motorola's approach to software, they've always made really good hardware. And I've never had a hardware.
Huh.
Despite the fact they've changed ownership, that hasn't really changed. They still do make good hardware. Excuse me. So anyway, moving on to some more Android news. Google has updated material design with guidelines for not only Oreo, but offline states.
Cool. Any visual changes?
Only minor ones. But do you know what an offline state is?
That's where you don't have internet.
It's interesting that there's a design for that. You think that Google would assume that everybody has internet?
No.
Well, that's sort of their stock and trade. You think that it's not that they would necessarily be unaware that people don't. I'm just surprised they're designing for it.
Makes sense.
Because their goal is to have everybody online.
Well, their goal is to have everybody using Chrome all the time, right? Yes. And if you have an app that is necessary and it doesn't work in offline, if it doesn't work when you don't have internet, someone is likely to design a desktop app or an actual app to handle that offline mode, which will also make for a better experience in online mode. So in order to encourage staying in the browser, which is where Google really wants us, then offline mode assists with that. So from a strategic point of view, it makes sense to me.
In other news, the Blueborne Bluetooth vulnerability was patched in September update. I have not gotten, despite my Oreo status.
I haven't gotten it either.
So I could be maliciously taken over by some device. However, I'll just have... It seems an unlikely possibility. I don't think I'm going to a place where a hacker might be looking for me, at least at the moment. At some point, I will go to a place where somebody who might be able to exploit the Blueborn Bluetooth vulnerability might be. But I can't imagine that there would be somebody who knows how to exploit that in the various places I go on a daily basis. That's the security through obscurity theory. It's not necessarily a good one, but it's all I have.
Sure.
So basically...
It works for most people.
Yeah. But either way... it is patched in the September update, and a lot of other devices have already patched it.
I do not understand why Bluetooth is so hard to get right.
Protocols are hard. Have you ever talked to somebody who devised a protocol?
Not on purpose.
No, but you know what I mean. There are people who have come up with communications protocols of various types. Have you ever talked to anybody who has, you know, worked on a standards project or anything like
that? No.
I have, and it's just sort of, yeah, we didn't think of that. Yeah, we thought this was wonderful then, but if we knew now what we knew then, we wouldn't have designed it this. That's basically the gist of it. So,
sure.
And, you know, look at email. Email was designed in a time where you didn't really think of all the security implications that email had. Why? Because nobody had exploited anything. You know, admittedly, we're much more paranoid now than we were when a lot of these protocols came out. But even though things are, you know, are created by intelligent people, sometimes you don't foresee what will evolve in the future.
Well, foresight is not 2020.
No, I agree with you. Now, admittedly, there are some decisions that people make, that, even based on what they knew at the time, were stupid. I'm sure you can agree with that.
For example?
Let's see. I just was listening about a vulnerability in AT&T Aris modems, which involved hard-coded credentials that would allow you to bypass security. That's a pretty bad one. People should know better in this day and age.
Sure.
I thought that was cool. Anyway, Action Launcher and Nova Launcher have both taken different approaches to adaptive icons. It's nice to know that there's so much room for variant name concept.
Well, I think one does it better than the other. So Nova Launcher has, they're actually letting you reshape existing icons, whereas Action Launcher is, they're just giving you a bunch of icons that have different shapes.
Yeah.
So if you have an app that isn't in their pack, then you won't get a fancy shape on it with Action Launcher. So I think Nova Launcher's approach is, while more technically difficult,
probably the better long-term move.
Yep.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just find it interesting how different companies take the different solutions to the same problem. In other news, Out of Milk, which I know I've mentioned on this program a long time ago, has added support for Alexa and Google Assistant. I forgot. I shouldn't say that word on the air.
I heard that. That was...
Well, you've noticed how all of these programs, various podcasts, have come up with euphemisms for the Echo and for the Google Assistant. To avoid its trigger words. Also, yeah. Apparently, recently.
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
That was the home. So I actually have two assistants sitting behind me, and they're both fighting for my attention. But apparently, a recent episode of South Park apparently trolled anybody with an Echo.
How so?
Apparently, they kept setting the thing off deliberately. And you remember a few months ago, I think it was Burger King who set them off. So this is becoming a thing: setting off your personal assistant.
That's funny.
Meanwhile, I've once again had to change the wake word on my personal assistant because I've switched from watching reruns of Voyager a while back, continuing my run of Deep Space Nine, and discovering how many episodes I don't remember from the first time. It's been a long time since that show was on.
Yep.
Anyway, so Out of Milk is basically a reminder app that has reasonably reviews. You can now use it with your personal digital assistant.
Cool.
Apparently also some renders of a Google Home Mini have been released, by the way. Since we're talking about assistants, it looks like a little cloth football. If the picture, the full size Google Home looks like an air freshener. You've seen these things. It happens to have the shape of an air freshener. It doesn't right. look like one. I'm saying, but if you go and look at pictures of the Google Home Mini, it looks basically like a cloth colored football.
It does.
So basically, it's supposed to be $50. So it looks very nice. And you know, admittedly, I have to decide what I'm going. Admittedly, there's room for multiple digital assistants in one's home, but I decided who will win in the end. And, of course, there's apparently a new Chromebook Pixel.
After how long?
It's been the original Pixel has been off the market, and the new one's called the Pixelbook. But I assume that's all the stuff they'll be announcing at the October 4th event. So, basically, we know everything that's going to happen there.
Nice.
We'll see. Maybe we'll be surprised. October 4th isn't that far off. You realize it's already halfway through September.
I do.
Yeah, so October
4th. And another 4th, week, we'll have a new episode of a new series of Star Trek.
I'm still on the fence.
Well, you should be until you actually see it.
Well, even with it, I think I mentioned last week why I'm skeptical. but I'm prepared to change my mind.
You know what's turned out to be pretty good?
What?
The Orville.
I watched the first episode. The second episode I recorded using my DVR, but the football game ran long, so I didn't get more than 5 minutes of it. So I'll have to go onto a streaming service to find it.
I find it to be enjoyable. Yeah. It's not Star Trek, but...
It doesn't have to be.
No.
It, admittedly, it's just speaking about the pilot, which is all I saw, it seems like it's a show that that has a combination of, what's his name, Seth MacFarlane's humor, but also it has the seriousness of a science fiction show, or at least a Star Trek style. So they aren't trying to make it deliberately ridiculous, which...
I don't know. I think they are.
No, they're trying to make it subtly ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the second episode is less subtly ridiculous.
Okay. I have not yet seen it. So I'm fine with Farce if it's done well. And he's certainly
capable. I think they're doing excellent.
Okay. He's certainly capable of doing a good farce. He's done it before. Anyway, let's see. Gmail and inbox will now convert addresses, phone numbers, and contacts into clickable links in your email.
Yay.
It's a useful feature. It may not be sexy. I want to be able to click my phone numbers and have a call go through. You would not believe how many times I've wanted to do that now. Oh, somebody emailed me a phone number. I have to switch between windows on my phone and type it in. Anyway, your local library's ebooks will now appear in a Google search. I think that's a useful one.
Cool.
And finally, on the app side, Google Chrome will block autoplay videos starting in January.
Only if they make sound.
Yeah.
If it's a video that does not make sound, then I'll block it.
Yeah. Autoplay will be allowed if the user has tapped or clicked somewhere on the site during the browsing session. It will be more consistent with user expectations and will give users more control. So basically, you can completely disable audio for individual sites. So basically, you can say never play audio for these sites. You can basically allow audio to play in when you've demonstrated that the person has an interest in it. So they've tried to make it a little more transparent. So it is not a 100% blocking of autoplay. It's a more targeted one. But using
it's going to stop the audio from unexpected places. Like, you're not going to have a tab open up under the tab you're on and then start making noise, and you don't know where the noise is coming from.
Yeah, but the other part of it is, since they do have a block list, you know that one site is acting up all the time for you. You can add that site to the block list permanently.
No, I like it. I'm 100% in favor of it, mostly.
And I hate autoplay video because a lot of the times I don't want it to autoplay.
Yes. When I'm browsing, by and large, I would rather read, and I don't need to hear ads or the news video of the thing that where they're just going to give a quick, brief, superficial summary of the article I'm about to read.
Well, not even that. Sometimes I open up three or four links in the background, and when I'm finished opening up all of the things, then I go read them. If all of them are sending me video and audio automatically, it's sort of annoying. But speaking of annoying, I found an interesting story that just made me think. A telemarketer called my elevator. I just sort of liked that because it relates to something that's been happening to me for the last few weeks. Apparently, this elevator emergency intercom is using a cellular connection or what have you. And apparently, the intercom has an actual phone number, so somebody, some auto dialer actually dialed it. So I just happened to be thinking about that, and when I saw it, it seemed worth mentioning because I've been sitting in a room with a phone, and the phone number is not publicly known. And I've been sitting in this room teaching a class, which I do every so often. And for the last week, at least once a day, this phone rings and tells me that it's my final chance to improve my credit. It is obviously not my final chance because they've called every day in the last few.
You keep using the word final. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, if I wasn't in the middle of teaching a group of people, I would probably stay on the line and annoy the heck out of them and possibly just for my own amusement and satisfaction. But being as it's in the middle of me trying to do something, I'm reasonably certain that a conference room speakerphone is not going to need a credit adjustment. But either way, it's interesting to know that even your elevator emergency telephone line may be subject to telemarketers. And apparently nobody can solve this problem.
That's just funny.
So that brings us to the end of our program this week.
It's a kind of a long episode this week.
Well, I was very excited about all of the assistant related things I've been doing.
Yep.
I hope you found it interesting.
It was.
And if anybody would like to ask me about it, or if anybody's used this software or something similar and has some thoughts, I'm always happy to hear from people. I think Jerry is happy to hear from people.
I am always happy.
And if you heard from somebody, Jerry, you'd of course share it.
I would.
And if I heard from somebody, I would hopefully remember to share it with you.
I'm sure you would.
But the last message we got that was in spam was the door-to-door geek telling us he still listened on January 19th, 2017.
And hey, that was appreciated.
Yes. That means that I still assume he's out there somewhere listening. Hopefully he's well, because I don't think conversation in a while. And hopefully he's continuing to do what he does, because I've been a bit out of the loop on him. Now I want to go look up all those people at Podnuts and see how many shows he's doing right now.
I bet it's one or none.
Well, I don't know. He may have gotten burnt out or something. He was running.
Yeah, hence the or none.
But it would be nice to check in on it. As I said, I have not listened to one of his programs in a while, and maybe I need to add that back to my rotation. I lost a lot of programs when I had my account, and I was like 50 podcasts in the hole at the time, so I just decided to declare bankrupt.
Sure.
Anyway, anybody else who we haven't heard from in a while who wants to drop us a line, there are a lot of people I know I've lost touch with, like that guy that you used to talk to all the time, the one who abandoned Android for Windows Phone, and I haven't asked you how that guy.
I don't even know who you're talking about, so I'm sure I don't know.
Josh Pollard?
Oh, nope, no idea.
Yep, haven't heard from him in a while either. But he did leave Android for Windows Phone, if I remember.
Sounds about right.
And I'm curious how that's going some years later, if he's still enjoying Windows Phone or if he's changed back or even to another computer. Anyway, hopefully all is well with everybody, wherever you are. And even though it is not the end of most people's years, since it is the end of my year, hopefully next year will be a wonderful year for everybody. I'm sure you can echo.
Yes, echo.
So here's to 5,700, and I always forget. I always invert my number. Excuse me, 5,778. The last number is always the same as subsequent English year. Anyway, let's hope that works out, and we'll be back here next Wednesday. That date is, of course, the 27th, and then the following week, which is the 4th, I will not be around, so we'll have to record on the 3rd, but we already discussed.
Yes.
And then the week after that, I'll also be unavailable, so we'll have to record on the 10th, and after that, I'll be out. Also, the week after that, my boss found out I'd be out of the country again, and there are certain people clamoring for a pit stop on my way back to the United States. I wish I was kidding. I'm apparently very popular, not in my office, but in all the other offices my company has. They all want to see me.
Oh.
Anyway, that said, I thought they had a dartboard with my picture on it. I'm happy somebody wants it. But anyway, let's adjourn until next week.
All right. Bye, folks.
And just to remind you guys, if you did want to send us an email, we still have podcast@andrewbuffet.com. We, of course, have Facebook. We have Twitter. I think we still have Google+. I haven't checked it. It still exists, right?
I suspect so.
No, honestly, it hasn't been quite as popular as it used to be. So I don't remember the last time I actually looked at our Google. It looks like our intrepid participants are actually still updating it for us, because it does show episode 365.
Wow, cool, thanks.
Well, I think I know who's doing that. Another person that we haven't heard from in a while, you know who that is, right?
Yes, maybe.
The same person who likes our episode on Twitter every week. I'm assuming it's Kevin McLaughlin. Oh, excuse me, on Twitter he's Sir Kevin McLaughlin. I hope he's well too. If anybody is well, please drop us a line and tell us. If you're not well, we probably want to hear about that too, but we're hoping to hear that you're well. Just a nice, hi, I'm still alive sort of thing is always nice. Anyway, let's adjourn on that note.
All right. Good night, folks.